LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Working through the weekend, your U.S. senators at the Capitol have started debate on the big Republican tax and budget bill. Some Republicans oppose it over cuts to Medicaid and other issues. Because Senator Tom Tillis voted no on advancing the budget bill, President Trump said he'll support primary challengers for the North Carolina Republican seat. Then today, Tillis announced he will not seek re-election next year. ABC's Jay O'Brien at the Capitol.
It doesn't look like they have much leverage now for Tillis, who can't really be swayed by political pressure because he's not going to run for re-election.
Former University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh is named in a class action suit over alleged hacking of student athletes' personal info. Federal prosecutors are investigating Detroit Pistons guard Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, say sources to ESPN. Beasley's lawyer says Beasley has not been charged with any crime. This is ABC News. Did you know how popular this blueberry-flavored treat is?
Backed by popular demand, an Oreo that tastes like blueberry pie. Mondelez International says that variety is one of the top five favorites. It's returning for the first time since 2017. The special edition Oreo hits store shelves next month.
ABC's Jim Ryan. A multi-day wedding event continued with a pajama party of the rich in Venice, celebrating the Amazon chief Jeff Bezos and Laura Sanchez's knot tying. Leonardo DiCaprio, Usher, Kim Kardashian were there in PJs in the water taxi headed to the event. And they all heard from the many uninvited, says ABC's Maggie Rulli in Venice.
Guests were leaving for that event last night. We did see about 1,000 protesters take over the famous Rialto Bridge here in Venice. They lit off flares. They unfurled a banner that said, "No space for Bezos." But these protesters were actually a little fewer than expected, and the party went on.
Our Maggie Rulli in Venice. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman. A new statewide political poll finds overwhelming support for cracking down on phones in schools. The latest Marquette Law School poll came out last Wednesday. It surveyed just under 900 voters earlier this month on things like the state and federal budgets and the 2026 governor's race. But it also asked about cell phone use in schools, and the response was clear.
We can be quick on this. Get rid of your kids' cell phones.
Marquette poll director Charles Franklin.
89% say not in classes.
72% of voters supported banning cell phones throughout the school day, including lunch and between classes. And it's a timely issue in Richland Center, where the local school board is weighing a change for phone use in the high school. Reporter Joanne Krulatz from WRCO in Richland Center.
This new language would restrict cell phone use during the day, whereas it is currently allowed in common areas before and after school, during passing times, and during lunch.
The school board listed a number of reasons for the switch: to help students concentrate, reduce stress, and encourage healthy boundaries with technology, and for clear communication with families and to prevent misinformation during emergencies. That proposal heads back to the school board next month. The conversation happens as there's new national research on the link between screen time and mental well-being for youth. A study published last week in the medical journal JAMA followed over 4,009 and 10-year-olds over a 4-year period. It found that kids with high or increasing levels of addictive screen use, especially for social media or video games, were more likely to show signs of anxiety, depression, and serious mental health issues. Researchers caution that the study shows a link but doesn't prove causation. For Civic Media News, I'm Shali Pittman.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming partly cloudy tonight, we'll see a low around 64. On Monday, mostly sunny, slight chance of an afternoon storm, highs in the low 80s. Clear and 60 for Monday night, and we're back in the low 80s with lots of sun on Tuesday. 83 with a chance of storms Wednesday.
It's 79 degrees right now.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. To kick us off, we have the Maggie Dawn Show. In this show, Maggie breaks down a new lawsuit alleging Elon Musk attempted to buy influence in Wisconsin's elections. After that, Maggie talks to Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson from Law Forward to explore how billionaire interference threatens to turn elections into auctions.
Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. And happy Wednesday afternoon to each and every one of you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a stacked show for you all this afternoon. We're going to begin by talking about billionaire baby boys and their attempts to buy elections and what we should all be doing about that. We're then going to be joined at the bottom of this hour by an expert from the American Foreign Policy Council to help us understand what got us to this point with Iran and what may come next. I think that's going to be an absolutely critical discussion. Big props to my senior producer, Jamie, for lining up these guests this afternoon to cover all of the breaking news. And then at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, critically importantly, we are going to be joined by Indivar Duttagupta, or Indy. He's been on the show before. He is a Doris Duke Distinguished Visiting Fellow at Georgetown. He knows all about budget policy and especially what is going on with the Senate markups. We're going to talk about those potential impacts to Wisconsinites and the middle class. And then finally, in that 5 o'clock hour, we're also going to be joined in response to the breaking news this morning by Abigail Swetz, the executive director of Fair Wisconsin. This, of course, in reaction to the breaking news this morning that the Supreme Court doesn't understand that the Equal Protection Clause means equal. We're going to discuss that. Basically, the Supreme Court has endorsed trans care bans for minors, flying in the face of prior Supreme Court precedent that said sexual identity and questions of gender are indeed part of what is protected by the Equal Protection Clause. And therefore, when a government regulates in that space, those regulations must be subjected to the highest level of scrutiny to ensure that our most fundamental constitutional protections are actually given full breath here on Earth One. Apparently, the Supreme Court doesn't get that, at least six of them, that decision coming down on ideological lines. So we've got so much to talk with you about. Very pleased to have with me a frequent guest of this program and a new guest to the program. I'm joined to begin by Jeff Mandel, the executive director and head of Law Forward, as well as Scott Thompson, one of the lawyers there with Jeff, to talk about this groundbreaking lawsuit in response to I don't know a weird new way to corrupt elections that billionaire baby boy Elon Musk came up with in our last election cycle here in Wisconsin. You'll remember this. He was giving away huge cardboard checks to people. I don't know, seemed to be something that we might be concerned about since paying people to vote has been made illegal since the Tammany Hall days. It's sort of pay to play at its most fundamental. They filed a lawsuit that has garnered nationwide attention to stop this practice. Welcome back to the show, Jeff. Welcome to the show, Scott. Gentlemen, let's start with you. Jeff, can you tell us exactly the claim that is being made in the lawsuit and why this is so important to keep Wisconsin elections fair?
Well, thanks, Maggie. We're glad to be here. This really is a case about free and fair elections and protecting those here in Wisconsin. And so what we have done on behalf of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and voters here in Wisconsin is brought a case asking the court to make clear that this conduct, this scheme, violates the election bribery statute here in Wisconsin, constitutes an illegal lottery under Wisconsin law, and that it was a civil conspiracy between Musk and two nonprofit organizations that he has significant control over, and also that this was a public nuisance, because free and fair elections are a public good for everyone in the state of Wisconsin, and this attempt to interfere is a nuisance. And so we are proceeding on behalf of the state of Wisconsin to fight back against that.
So let's just recap in case anybody missed this. So you got public nuisance. We've got a civil conspiracy. What was the first item on the tick list of wrongness about what Elon Musk did?
Well, we're asking the court for what's called a declaratory judgment. So the court is going to say this is what the law means. And as part of that declaration, we're saying this constituted election bribery under our statute here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin statute 12.11, it's quite clear, and this is not okay.
Yeah, Wisconsin statute 12.11. Listen, I've been asked to interpret it in my former life as the corp counsel for Milwaukee County, and basically it was like, yeah, you can't even offer free bus rides. You got to worry about handing out water to voters in line because of the aggressive nature with which the right polices, and I use that word intentionally, polices, and I think some would argue engages in voter intimidation when it comes to get out the vote efforts on the day of. I was like, if I can't hand somebody a bottle of water in line to vote when there's a long line, how is it possible that Elon Musk gets to hand them a big old cardboard check of $1 million? It just seems so absurd. Scott, let me ask you, have you heard from any conservatives that were in good faith also troubled by this kind of overt, loud and proud corruption?
I think that people of all stripes felt it in their gut. I think that people from across the aisle really sensed that this was different. And even if you look at the complaint, one of the recipients of the $1 million check went on video with America PAC and identified that he had previously done get out the vote work and that this was something different, that people hadn't done it like this before. And as our complaint really makes clear, we think that's because it's illegal. So really, again, that's why we brought the lawsuit. We think that people are right. We think that that sense of unfairness that had many people, like I said, across the aisle sort of furrowing their brow and really feeling uncomfortable, we think those people are right and that the law backs that up.
This is from the Washington Post coverage. The lawsuit filed in state court by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign says that Musk's actions create the, quote, risk that Wisconsin elections will become an open auction where votes go to the preferred candidates of the highest bidders. And the election outcome is determined by which candidate has a patron willing and able to pay the highest sum to Wisconsin voters. That's the piece, Scott, that you think regular people, when you look at that and you stand back, and it literally is like putting a for sale sign in the front of the metaphoric lawn of our house of democracy. And I struggle to understand, like, what's the long game for conservatives? Because then is it just an auction again, which candidate has which deeper pocketed guys lined up to hand out checks to would-be voters. It seems to smack of very, very partisan short-sightedness, that it was okay because it was Elon. I mean, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't conservatives freak out when Zuckerbucks and other wealthy folks tried to give money to help literally just campaign workers, election workers during the pandemic because so much more help was needed, and they screamed bloody murder then. Not a peep now, it seems. Strange, wouldn't you say?
It's not just that they screamed bloody murder, but we amended our state constitution to prohibit any private funding for election administration. And then, as you note, we have someone coming in and pouring tens of millions of dollars into this campaign. You know, what's so disturbing to me, Maggie, and it's in the complaint, is another article from the Washington Post, this one the day after our spring election, where North Carolina U.S. Senator Tom Tillis basically said that Elon Musk is a disruptor and that we all just need to get used to it. And what we should expect is that this will be the new normal going forward. And we should expect to see wealthy partisans on both sides standing on election stages, giving out those giant cardboard checks for $1 million. And that cannot become the new normal. That's why we're bringing this lawsuit, is we cannot go down that road. We are completely convinced it's already a violation of Wisconsin law. As Scott said, almost everyone we speak to agrees. Everyone is uncomfortable about this and says, that can't be right, can it? And so we are asking a court to step in and confirm what everyone already knows and make sure that this does not become the new normal here in Wisconsin or anywhere else.
Folks, if you're just joining us, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined this half hour by Scott Thompson and Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. If you missed the news a few weeks back, they filed a lawsuit in partnership and with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign to stop the billionaire baby, otherwise known as Elon Musk, from handing out huge cardboard checks for $1 million or $100 to would-be voters for signing up. This just seems to me, Jeff, to be the natural evolution of the Supreme Court's complete failure to understand correctly on Earth One the corrupting influence of private money in political campaigns. Where do you think this lawsuit goes? Do you think it gets resolved by the Supreme Court of Wisconsin? Do you think that the U.S. Supreme Court would be open to this kind of what I'm just going to call out-and-out bribery?
I don't think anyone believes that even the U.S. Supreme Court, that has equated money with speech and has vacated so many reasonable restrictions on how we try to make sure we're having free, fair elections, I don't believe anyone thinks that they are going to say that Wisconsin's election bribery statute is somehow unconstitutional. So this case should begin and end here in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But this is, as you note, this is an evolution of what has happened. It is part of how our laws have devolved from Citizens United at the federal level to getting rid of tremendous amounts of campaign finance regulation here in the state while Governor Walker was in charge of the state. It's really unfortunate, and it's hard to believe that it was only a little bit more than a decade ago that Wisconsin was leading the way and had a Supreme Court election with full public financing and was a model and a light for the nation. And now look how different things are, and we need to bring this lawsuit.
And we have no one to thank for that except Wisconsin Republicans and Wisconsin former Republican Governor Scott Walker. We're going to continue this conversation with Scott Thompson and Jeff Mandel of Law Forward. On the other side, do you have questions for the gentleman or myself? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Government corruption, live and well here in Wisconsin, but we're going to do something about it. No more billionaire babies handing out big old checks to swing elections in a corrupt, corrupt way. Stay tuned. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We welcome you back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Here we have Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. In this segment, Pat Kreitlow has some thoughts on a regime trying to rewrite historical records through its anti-DEI efforts and condoning federal government kidnappings of those they deem to be unpersons.
Parker's just finding us all kinds of new bumper music here from this new library that we get to dip into here.
Yeah,
so,
trying to keep you on your toes.
A Thursday morning vibe to it. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we will not have our usual Friday guests, like almost any of them, well, at least for the first 2 hours of the show, because everybody's got days off or they're traveling or have other conflicts. So at 6:30 tomorrow, instead of Kia Vakil from Courier Newsroom, we will be talking to Catherine Hempstead, the senior policy advisor at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, because they just put out a new report on the Trump big bloated budget boondoggle. And if that thing holds, Wisconsin hospitals are going to see a $3 billion reduction in spending over the next decade. And there will also be a $900 million increase in uncompensated care in Wisconsin hospitals. And there will be Wisconsin hospitals that cannot survive that. This current bill is detrimental to the health of rural health care in Wisconsin. And so we'll talk to Catherine Hempstead about that study tomorrow. And also, in place of Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and Jim Santel, believe it or not, I found one woman who can replace them all. And that would be the one, the only, Joan Esposito, Chicago broadcasting legend, is going to join me for the 7 a.m. hour tomorrow. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly here at 8:05 tomorrow and Mike Clemens with sports at 8:30. So a lot to cover, not your typical Friday tomorrow. Let's see, from on the text line. Oh, this would be Luke Mathers saying, I'm going to see, help me again here. It's Hozier, not Hozier, not Hozier.
Hozier.
Hozier. Should I go to French?
Hozier.
Okay.
Like the word cozier.
Okay. Like Hosier. All right.
Yeah.
So Luke is going to go see him, them. Is this a Bon Iver situation where it's a band name, but it's one person?
It's, yeah. Yeah. One person, but it's a band, yes.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear on this. Grandpa wants to understand these things. So
I'm proud of you, Grandpa.
Let's take a look at what's happening at the state capitol here, because it is, well, it's interesting. Because you have a University of Wisconsin system that is already one of the least supported in the country in terms of public funding by legislatures around the country. And we know why that is. It's part of an ongoing Republican war against education. It started with a war on teachers back during Act 10. And now Republican lawmakers want to drag the UW down further. Instead of considering requests from Governor Tony Evers, and not just Governor Tony Evers, but hundreds upon hundreds of business leaders who asked Republican legislators to better support the UW. And the governor put in a request for more than $800 million in improved funding for the UW system. Now, Republicans were never going to approve $800 in additional funding for the UW system. They might have done, you know, half of that or a quarter of that. They're not even going to do that. They are actually talking about cutting the level of funding further for the UW system. And why is that? Well, see the comments from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. I mean, the only way to describe it is the perpetual whining about quote unquote political correctness. And has them, thank you. Oh, there he is now. It has them demanding changes in how ideas are discussed. I mean, I am no expert on Orwellian literature, but how much closer to, you know, the thought police can you get? A lot of this started with our colleague Todd Alba, who had been talking to folks in the Capitol and got word of this possibility that rather than just a diminished level of increased support for the UW, they might actually cut the funding. And for a little while, Republicans were playing rather coy with it. And then, you know, Robin Voss, you can always count on him to eventually say, you know, the quiet parts out loud and say, yeah, that's exactly what we're doing, because according to him, the UW system had not done enough to ensure conservative students feel like they belong on campus. Well, let's look at that for a bit. What is the track record so far of the current conservative movement? Because, again, the Orwellian parallels are striking. Because in 1984, you've got a Ministry of Truth that works to rewrite historical records. What do we see now with the so-called DEI attacks, which are nothing more than trying to erase the history of Black Americans and Native Americans and the LGBTQ community? So we have something close to a Ministry of Truth and a hostility in this legislature as well that wanted to cut the UW system last time around until the various DEI positions for diversity, equity, and inclusion, oh, the horror, were gutted. And of course, I mean, there's the official government actions taken against those who fall out of favor with the ruling party. They become unpersons in the 1984 novel, unpersons disappearing with all evidence of their existence destroyed. Well, we are certainly seeing more of Trump using secret police to disappear people, including American citizens, until Big Brother is confident that they are who they say they are. I don't know, Winston. I'm just telling you to figure it out more quickly, that if the people who are trying to erase history and disappear people are now demanding changes in political thought, you might want to rethink whether these are the best people who would lead our University of Wisconsin system, our legislature, and our state. We will check in with Melissa Baldoff. Our climate check report yesterday turned much more toward some of the politics involved with her husband, Joe Zepecki, running for chair and much more. So that's all coming up yet on this edition of Mornings Powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Midwest Farm Report is coming up next. We'll be right back.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Working through the weekend, your U.S. senators at the Capitol have started debate on the big Republican tax and budget bill. Some Republicans oppose it over cuts to Medicaid and other issues. Because Senator Tom Tillis voted no on advancing the budget bill, President Trump said he'll support primary challengers for the North Carolina Republican seat. Then today, Tillis announced he will not seek re-election next year. ABC's Jay O'Brien at the Capitol.
It doesn't look like they have much leverage now for Tillis, who can't really be swayed by political pressure because he's not going to run for re-election.
Former University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh is named in a class action suit over alleged hacking of student athletes' personal info. Federal prosecutors are investigating Detroit Pistons guard Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, say sources to ESPN. Beasley's lawyer says Beasley has not been charged with any crime. This is ABC News.
Another Brewers starting pitcher. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball. Back in April and May, the shorthanded Brewers went through 11 different starting pitchers. In the last week or so, they've unveiled the Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, and his 100-mile-an-hour fastball, making national headlines. Yesterday, the Brewers beat the Rockies 5-0. Right-hander Quinn Priester, allowing just one hit through seven scoreless innings, striking out 11 batters. GM Matt Arnold and the team scouts predicted Priester could become a starter. Pat Murphy says at first he had his doubts.
Matt Arnold in our front office predicting that this was the guy. And when I first saw him, I remember him a little bit when I saw him in Colorado. And then when I saw him again and the next time he pitched, I'm like, ugh, this is a project. And then 11 more times, our pitching staff, pitching coaches and the players on the staff embraced this guy and allowed him to grow.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Attention, avid readers, if there are still any left. You can never have enough psychological thrillers, as far as I'm concerned, and thanks to Amazon, there is a new one on the way based on a best-selling book. The streamer has purchased rights to Freda McFadden's The Tenant, which has been atop the New York Times bestseller chart for 7 weeks. The story follows Blake Porter, a marketing executive who loses his job and takes in a boarder to help make ends meet. You can imagine how that goes. Tough to find a good roommate, much less one who won't try to kill you. If you haven't been to Summerfest yet but have been meaning to go, you still have time. One more weekend, to be specific. The third and final weekend of one of the world's biggest music festivals kicks off again this Thursday, July 3rd. This upcoming weekend's music lineup includes Benson Boone, Fountains of Wayne, Social Distortion, John Oates, Without Hall, that doesn't seem right, Everclear, and the Lumineers. Hot fun in the summertime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Becoming partly cloudy tonight, we'll see a low around 64. On Monday, mostly sunny, slight chance of an afternoon storm, highs in the low 80s. Clear and 60 for Monday night, and we're back in the low 80s with lots of sun on Tuesday. 83 with a chance of storms Wednesday.
Right now, it's 80.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward on suing Elon Musk in order to prevent backdoor bribery of voters by billionaires.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We push ahead to the Todd Alba Show on this week's Civic Media Spotlight. In this segment, Todd heard from his sources that the Joint Finance Committee was planning to announce an $87 million budget cut to the UW system. After this information was leaked, the JFC removed that item from today's agenda, likely due to calls from constituents. If your representatives are doing things against your interests, call their offices and tell them how you feel. It could really make a difference.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, here at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, where skies are partly cloudy right now. It is sultry. Going to be in the 80s in Madison for highs today. It is humid, I can attest. Walked over and got a little coffee this morning before the show or before we started getting going here, and it's already pretty darn hot. Summer's on. Normally, the studio is freezing, at least in the afternoon. I'm wearing a sweater. Now, today, the one day that we could use a little air conditioning.
It's pretty toasty.
It's pretty toasty. I feel like a Pop-Tart.
Yeah, me too, just slowly cooking. And,
but have no fear, about 3 o'clock, the freezer will kick in.
For sure.
I'm pretty confident.
This is partly cloudy. I can barely walk outside and keep my eyes open. It's so bright.
It is pretty bright out. But it's going to be, hey, I'm ready for summer weather. I'm not going to complain. I've been wanting some summer weather, so I am ready for it. Hopefully you're ready for a great show today. Going to be a great one indeed. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined in studio by James Small. He is the Rural EMS Outreach Program Manager at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. James Small going to be here to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. I know that many Wisconsinites are concerned about this, is our EMS system, emergency management system, also our EMTs as well. Emergency services, because here's what's happened over the years. Is we've seen more folks grow up and move away from rural areas, and then the population that's there is aging, and many of the people that are in charge of EMS, EMT services in rural Wisconsin have either died off or simply gotten too old to do the job. And a lot of younger folks don't feel called to do that. We're going to talk about what this means for Wisconsin, what this means for the legislature and the governor, what this means for all of us across the state of Wisconsin. And by the way, don't just think that this is only a rural, you got to go way out in the country. There are places like in Waukesha. You drive 10 miles and you're essentially in the country. Go to Green Bay, areas where you can drive 10 miles and you're basically in the country. So this is an issue that is important to all of us, or should be, across the state of Wisconsin. And hour number two, little what's worse for you today. It's Tuesday. That means Taco Tuesday. What's worse today, Taco Bell or Taco John's?
I'll get dinner at the winner tonight.
Have you eaten at a Taco John's?
I've eaten at a Taco John's. It's been a minute, though.
Remind me, I have a story about Taco John's.
All right, we'll get to that.
We'll do a Taco John's story in hour number two. And also in the bottom of hour number two, very honored to be joined here at the desk in studio by Wisconsin State Representative Jody Emerson, a Democrat from the Eau Claire area. She's been on the show once before when we took the show on the road, the Trigvy and Reed Galen, up at Osseo at the Norske Nook, enjoyed some pie with Representative Emerson. She is the ranking member on the Assembly Committee for Universities and Colleges. She is going to be here because that's where we're going to start the show, where we're going to end the show. And that is on some major news happening just over a block away from where we're at in downtown Madison at the Wisconsin State Capitol. Now, last night, if you follow me on the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and the like, the follow sign is at All Ball Show on Twitter X, Twix, and the Todd All Ball Show on Facebook. And I posted late last night some breaking news from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the flagship university here in Madison of the University of Wisconsin system. I know. It's now called the Universities of Wisconsin. Well, I still say the proper name is UW System, so that's what I like to refer to it as. We had, from our sources, gotten some breaking news. We passed it along last night, and it was this, that both mainly Democrats that I've talked to and staff in the Capitol, and also a couple of Republicans that will still talk to me, tangentially confirmed by saying, well, you're not too far off. And it was this devastating news coming out of the Capitol that the Joint Finance Committee, most powerful committee in the legislature, controlled by Republicans, made up of assembly folks and senators, only two Democrats on both sides, so controlled by Republicans, our old friend, and I say that sarcastically, State Senator Howard Markline is the co-chair on the Senate side. Of course, University of Wisconsin-Richland and Richland Center was closed a couple of years ago, and Howard Markline and his counterpart in the assembly, who is also on the Joint Finance Committee, Tony Kurtz, said, oh, we don't have the power. There's nothing we can do. We can't get another $3 million in the state budget to save UW-Richland. I don't want to go down that road because that isn't specifically what this is about today. But the Joint Finance Committee was leaked last night. We had a hand in that, I'm proud to say, by getting the word out that when the Joint Finance Committee met today, I saw the agenda on the agenda for today, which they got underway about an hour ago, that was the budget of the University of Wisconsin system. Governor Evers had requested over $300 million in increases to the UW system. Because during the Walker years, the last time I worked at the Capitol, the UW system budget got gutted by Republicans in control. So Tony Evers was trying to restore some of that money. Remember, UW system led by President Jay Rothman, Board of Regents of the system are now controlled by appointees from Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And they've made slashes. They've closed half of the two-year campuses, six of the 12. They made other cuts throughout the UW system, gotten rid of largely of DEI, all at the behest and request primarily of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. And they thought, well, if we play ball with these guys, if we make some of these big cuts, if we get rid of DEI, they'll be nice. They'll be nice. Remember the parable of the frog and the scorpion? There's a scorpion that wants to cross the river. There's a frog by the bank in the water. And the scorpion says, if you just give me a ride on your back across the other side, I'll be so indebted to you. And the frog says, yeah, but you're a scorpion. You could sting me and kill us both and we drowned. And the scorpion says, no, I'm not like that. I'm not like other scorpions. You can trust me. And finally convinces the frog to give him a ride. And halfway across the river, the scorpion stings the frog. The poison rushes into the frog, and they both begin to drown. And the frog looks at the scorpion and says, you gave me your word. Why would you do this? And the scorpion simply replies, because that's who I am. That's my nature. UW System President Jay Rothman thought that by being a more amiable frog, that he could change the mind of Republicans in the state legislature, that he could make things different. But last night, the scorpion that is politically UW or the Republican legislature stung him. And it was announced and leaked out that the Joint Finance Committee today intended not only to use double negative, they're not going to approve Governor Evers' $300 million plus in increases. They're not even going to approve current funding levels that they intend today, or intended perhaps now, to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And in talking to Democratic sources at the Capitol, if that were to happen, and if Republicans in the legislature were to pass a bill that included $87 million in cuts to the UW system, there is a feeling, at least among some Democrats on the Senate side, that they were then ready and prepared to call on Democratic Governor Tony Evers to not just line item, use his veto pen, one of the most liberal veto pens in the country. I don't mean that large liberal, but small L liberal, has a lot of purview. So the thought was that they would cut, or they wouldn't even be able to use the line item to get rid of these terrible cuts. And they may, call on Democratic governor from their own party to veto the entire budget. Because remember, unlike the U.S. budget, if Wisconsin legislature and governor don't come to terms and don't pass a budget, government does not shut down. State government does not shut down. What happens is it continues on at the current level for the next 2 years. So if the governor were to veto the entire budget that included potentially $87 million in cuts to the UW system, that would essentially be an $87 million gain for a system. You understand where I went there? That by vetoing the budget that included, if it included $87 million in cuts, the governor was essentially saying, okay, UW, I know this is not what you want, but at least you get to continue at current levels for 2 more years. And so we put this out on our socials last night. I know that other people, after we did, amplified that. I know that our guest coming up in the second hour, Jody Emerson, was amplifying that last night in the Eau Claire area, was going through education circles. And today, about an hour before the show, it was announced that the Joint Finance Committee, guess what, decided to pull that from the agenda, at least so far. It's a very fluid situation. Because apparently, from what I'm told, a lot of Republican legislators on the Joint Finance Committee got a lot of calls from a lot of angry constituents saying you cannot kill the Wisconsin idea. And so far, it has been pulled. Now, also from what I'm told, that if they're to meet deadlines, the Joint Finance Committee has to do something with the UW budget by a week from today. So coming up in hour two at 3:30, really appreciate her fitting us into her very busy schedule. Representative Jody Emerson is going to be sitting right next to me and give us a live update. Perhaps we might actually see part of this motion by the Republicans and get a real number for you. Maybe we won't know anything more. But this is the last 12 hours, 12 to 15 hours, is great, a great example that when the truth is disseminated and people react, that results can happen. So congratulations to each one of you out there who called your legislator this morning and put enough pressure on for them to at least temporarily reconsider this $87 million cut. Because I talked to my former boss last night, former state senator Dale Schultz, who once chaired the university committee on the Senate side, was once Senate majority leader, longtime Joint Finance Committee member. He agreed. There's no way that UW could absorb $87 million in cuts without most likely closing the remainder 6 2-year campuses across the state and very likely closing at least 1 4-year university in the state and or completely gutting colleges from within universities across the state. It would be devastating to the Wisconsin idea. What is the Wisconsin idea? One person asked me last night. And what are land-grant universities, and what's the connection to the Republican Party? We'll explain all of that on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's a busy Tuesday. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Allball Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 2 until 4. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Break yourself free from that desk and come work for Civic Media, a rapidly growing network which has positions open in Park Falls, Hayward, and Amory, Wisconsin that focus on prospecting and new account acquisitions. The ideal candidate will have prior media advertising sales experience and success, reliable transportation, and a connection to the communities in which they would sell. This position pays a base salary plus generous commissions and exceptional additional benefits. To see a full description, go to civicmedia.us and look at careers. Apply at civicmedia.us or send your resume directly to darla.isham@civicmedia.us. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer that is committed to diversity and inclusion in the workplace.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away, so come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 2019 that partisan gerrymandering was fundamentally a political issue and left it to legislatures and state courts to decide. In South Carolina, a state Supreme Court case heard June 24th challenges the state constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. At the heart of the case is this provision in the South Carolina state constitution. All elections shall be free and open, and every inhabitant of the state possessing the qualifications provided for in this constitution shall have an equal right to elect officers and be elected to fill public office. In another SCOTUS case, 2024's Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP, evidence showed state legislators repeatedly said they gerrymandered for partisan, not racial reasons when they moved 30,000 mostly black voters into Congressional District 2, leaving adjacent districts more white and conservative. Their admission of partisan gerrymandering is now being used against them. The League of Women Voters and ACLU argued that the admitted partisan gerrymandering, quote, violated voters' constitutional rights to free and open elections that are protected from all undue influence and where voters exercise equal influence over elections. The groups asked that the map be in compliance with the state constitution. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We finish our first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight with Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. In this segment, Pete talks with David Patterson, writer and producer of Bridge to Terabithia. Patterson shares tales from his multifaceted career as a stuntman, playwright, and fire department volunteer. Hear about the thrills and spills of performing dangerous stunts, including a heart-stopping moment on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Welcome back. This is a Wednesday edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me. Our question of the night, it's National Splurge Day, folks. So what is in your shopping cart? We will catch up on texts in just a little while. Right now we have some more time with our pal, Dave Patterson, who is here. Dave wrote and produced the film The Bridge to Terabithia, Dave. The is not in the title. Yeah. I found that out.
That would have cost extra in the posters.
So. It's like the extra T. Yeah, you can't have that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So we were talking before the break about you finding out you have to make this long jump and teaching Robin Williams how to do it or coaching him somehow. How was that?
Basically, I was coaching him on how to step off the bridge, facsimile, and he had to do, I think, like a 4-foot drop onto a nice soft bag. Then they pulled everything away and put me up in the rafters, and I had to do a 40-foot version of that for the green screen, and then they would match it later with me in the East River. And it was unexpected for me and my stunt coordinator, and he walks up to me and basically looks at me. We didn't even speak. It's like, you're going to do it, right? Even though we both didn't expect this, you're going to do it, right? And not say a thing or complain or anything. And I'm like, yes. So I went ahead and did it, and it was, I hadn't done a large free fall since I was much younger. I told you I'd left the business to raise my boys, and I had just gone back to business. And but I made it, and I didn't get hurt. But I had to land mostly on my stomach, chest, and face because of the way the fall was. And it was just on those gym mats that are about 18 inches thick because there wasn't enough room for anything more comfortable. And one of the great things was Robin insisted on watching the falls. And the first person that got me off the mat was him. And he was like, how's it, Chief? How you doing? That looked like it hurt. I go, well, it didn't tickle, but I'm doing okay.
You had to land on your stomach from 40 feet. How does that work? You on a cord where it kind of softens the blow a little bit?
No, there was no cord. That was the thing. It was a free fall, no cord or anything like that. It was just don't hurt yourself, basically. It was make sure as you fall, don't hurt yourself. And luckily, I just did it in two takes. I made it. And he went and yelled at one of the producers and got me an additional $500 for it because
Robin Williams.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Boy, that's I don't use the word hero very often, Dave, but you're mine after hearing that story.
I need to record that and share that with my wife a little later on if I could.
What's the movie?
It's called The Angriest Man in Brooklyn. Okay. And then the other most dangerous stunt was we had to, me and Mila Kunis' stunt double, not me and Mila Kunis, we had to race a van down Ditmars Boulevard about 80 miles an hour, blowing all these different lights. The issue was they had only stopped six different intersections, and the director was yelling at us to go. We went through another four intersections without protection or the light stopped. We got pulled over by cops. They were going to cuff us when the director showed up with everyone, and because they saw us blow through some red lights, and they're like, you could have killed someone. And we're like, sorry. And so we didn't get arrested, but the cop did chew out everyone on the set because they should have taken another three or four lights and protected those. So
no kidding.
So I guess that was even more dangerous because we could have just plowed into a bag lady or something like that. But
David Patterson is my guest. He is the writer, producer of The Bridge to Terabithia, Love Ludlow, The Great Gilly Hopkins. And he is a good pal. I have to tell you, I think cops are hilarious on movie sets. Like, you know, I love how they sort of, we were shooting, you've seen my film, The Godfather of Green Bay, Lance Barber and I were shooting. We're just going guerrilla style on the strip, driving this little Geo. The cameraman's in front of us in a pickup truck with the camera sandbagged down and he's filming us and we get pulled over. And I make up some story about how we're sorry, officer. We don't have the permits. We just needed to grab this one shot. I got to get Lance back to L.A. He's on Yes, Dear tomorrow, which was a sitcom back a time ago. Have you seen the show? And the cop is looking at us like he knows I'm full of it. And he goes, yeah, I like that show. I was like, okay. So he just let us go. He was like the coolest guy in the world. But like they seem to want to help. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In New York City, the New York Film Office, basically, New York Film Office, they assign you cops if you're shooting in the city. And depending on the size of the crew, they assign many different cops. You don't even have to pay for it. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
It's not rent a cop. It's just give a cop.
Wow.
And so they give you cops. And they're there just to make sure if some homeless guy comes up and starts, you know, throwing trash cans, you got a cop there to make sure that he goes away. And so, but the cops, yes, they are funny. They always make sure that there's enough donuts at the craft services. Right. Otherwise, there's going to be a complaint. They are funny. Another interesting thing about civil servants is there's a lot of firemen that are stuntmen in New York City.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because it's one of the few jobs, civil servant jobs, where you can have another job because firemen work for 4 days and they're off for 3 days. They work for 3 days or off for 4 days. So they're allowed another job. So I've worked with a lot of New York City firemen who are also stuntmen. And they're just as crazy, if not more so, than regular stuntmen.
David Patterson is my guest. All right, here's what I want to do, Dave. We're going to do the news quick, as we call it, intermission. I want to ask you about Robin Williams, what you thought of him. And I want you to explain a little bit. I love when I meet people who have different backgrounds. You didn't just go to film school and you're making movies. You've done it all. You're also a volunteer fire department. You're the commissioner of the Parks Department. You've been a stuntman, a playwright. You just have a fascinating story. So we'll get into that when we come back. And obviously, I'll ask you about Bridge to Terabithia. And you need to tell us how your most recent film, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, did too. We'll do all of that after the news. Dave Patterson is here, ladies and gentlemen, on a Wednesday, a school night. Do you believe that? It's Peach Wama, a Nightlight. We're coming right back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Peach Wama is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Named in a class action suit over alleged hacking of student athletes' personal info is former University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. And assistant coach Matthew Weiss is accused of doing it. ABC's Melissa Don.
The plaintiffs say Harbaugh and the officials did nothing, accusing Harbaugh of failing and refusing to implement basic security measures that would have stopped Weiss.
In March, Harbaugh says he was completely shocked by the allegations. Federal prosecutors are investigating Detroit Pistons guard Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, say sources to ESPN. Beasley's lawyer says an investigation is not a charge and his client hasn't been charged with a crime. Your U.S. senators are at the Capitol on a Sunday debating the big Republican tax and budget bill. Some Republicans don't like the bill. Humanoid robots have performed for spectators in Beijing with a fully autonomous soccer match powered by artificial intelligence. This is ABC News.